Scripture lesson today is found in the Old Testament lesson of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. It's the first chapter of John, beginning at verse 35. This reading starts off with the phrase, "the next day." And what we need to know is that the previous day was the day of Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan. And so this is where we pick up the story. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. Tomorrow we celebrate Martin Luther King Day in our country. And so I would like to begin with a quote from Dr. King. It's a short quote, but it's one that has spoken to me this weekend and this week. Dr. King said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." The day we become silent about things that matter. I'm also going to do something now that I don't ever remember doing in my 25 years of preaching, and that is I am going to offer a disclaimer. Because this morning's sermon will contain some language that may offend you and that is not suitable for younger ears. So parents, Jeff, you may be having some conversations with some of our younger members about some of the language in this morning's sermon. Samuel Clemens, also known as Mark Twain, once said, "Most people should not swear. This is not a moral judgment, but an artistic one. The fact is, most people don't know how to swear any more than they know how to play the bassoon. Both require years of practice and expert instruction. Yet virtually all the swearing one hears in the course of a day sounds trite, discordant, and uninspired. The lack of melody and imagination offends the ear more than the words offend the sense of decency. Profanity should therefore be left to the skilled and the well-trained professional." I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church in a small town in Georgia, and I learned to cuss in that small town. I learned about good cussing, and I learned about bad cussing. That's what we called it, cussing. I remember when I was about maybe 9, 10 years old, one of my best friends at the time was a boy named Johnny Green, and the Green family lived right behind this Baptist church where I grew up and where both of us attended. And Johnny and I were learning to cuss. And we didn't know what those words meant. We just knew we weren't supposed to say them. And so we would just say them. They weren't in sentences. They had no context. We would just say as many cuss words as we knew to one another, and then we'd just laugh. Now, an odd thing about this is we would do this in the stairwell of the First Baptist Church. We would sneak into the church, these two little boys, and get in the stairwell where nobody knew we were there, and we'd just sit on those stairs and cuss at each other. Saying those words we knew we weren't supposed to say. Now, I learned about good cussing, too. I heard good cussing all around me. Anybody ever heard the word criminy? Why, criminy sakes. Well, criminy is just a different way of saying Christ. That's where the word comes from. Anybody ever said Jiminy Christmas? Anybody ever said that? Heard it? Jiminy Christmas is just another way of saying Jesus Christ. There are all sorts of good cuss words. Darn, dern. We know what that one stands for, don't we? How about shoot? Ah, shoot. We know what that one stands for, don't we? How about God forsaken? Well, that God forsaken. We know what that one stands for. My daddy, who was a good deacon in the Southern Baptist Church, every once in a while, when he really needed to express himself, he would say, "Hell's bells." Usually it was just one of the others. Jiminy Christmas, criminy, shoot, darn, dern. You see, you can have cussing as an expletive, or you can have cussing that is disparaging. One is when you stump your toe. That's an expletive. You hit your finger with a hammer. You pour red wine on your white blouse. The other is disparaging. That's road rage. That's when you're aiming it at another person and you are degrading or disparaging that other person. We use this kind of language in two ways. Now, I'm going to give you two examples of this. And the first one comes from the headlines this week. The headlines in our papers, all over our computer screens, radio, television. Last week, the President of the United States referred to several countries, Haiti, El Salvador, Nigeria, other African countries, as shithole countries. It's a pretty disparaging remark. Now, a few years ago, preacher and evangelist Tony Campolo. I understand Tony Campolo spoke here one time. Who was present when Tony Campolo spoke? He may very well have begun his speech this way. I don't know. But I heard Tony Campolo a couple of times during the 1990s and or the early 90s. And his trademark beginning of a speech, and I quote, "I have three things I'd like to say today. First, while you were sleeping last night, 30,000 kids died of starvation or diseases related to malnutrition." I looked up some figures, and actually we made some progress because last night only 17,000 children died. But then Tony Campolo would say, "Second, most of you don't give a shit." And what's worse is that you are more upset with the fact that I said shit than the fact that 30,000 children died last night. See, it's not all about the words. The words have context. They can be used in different contexts. They can be used to shock. They can be used to express pain. They can be used as the punchline in a joke. It's what's behind the words. One of these examples calls us to our darker instincts as we speak disparagingly about groups of people. And the other calls us to our higher angels to become aware of people who are in need and suffering. And this morning, the question for us is, where does the gospel call us? Both of our scripture readings this morning are about calling. God's calling in the life of the boy Samuel. God's calling through Jesus to his disciples. And both of these stories of calling call us into unexpected places. A small boy is called while the high priest, the chief priest, is asleep. But his sons are corrupt. His whole system is falling apart. And when God speaks. And who hears? A small boy. Because the story tells us just a little bit before what we read this morning that Eli had become deaf to the voice of God. But God did not stop calling, and Samuel hears the call. In the gospel reading, the call comes not in the temple of Jerusalem, but on the banks of the Sea of Galilee to fishermen. Everyday common people who are living under the oppression of the Roman Empire and struggling just to make a living. And the call comes from one who comes from Nazareth. Nazareth, this tiny little community that is thought of as the hinterlands. We might even say it's one of those holes that was referred to this week. Because Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, Nazareth today is known as the Arab capital of Israel. 3/4 of the population of the city of Nazareth today are Arabs and Muslims who are Israeli citizens. Even today, Nazareth remains an outpost, the same as it was during Jesus' time. And when Nathanael says, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Haiti? Can anything good come from El Salvador or Nigeria? The answer is, come and see. Come and see. This is Jesus' call to his disciples. This is Jesus' call to us. Come and see. Come and see. The hungry, the homeless, the poor, the imprisoned. Come and see the war-torn, the refugee, the immigrant, the outcast. Come and see hypocrisy and indifference of religion. Come and see profanity of wealth and power. Come and see ruthlessness of empire. But also come and see the power of love, the healing of forgiveness, the comfort of compassion, the hospitality of generosity. Come and see. My friends, of all the voices that we hear in our world today, calling and pulling, what are we listening to? And if we listen to our own scriptures, if we listen to the story of the man whom we claim to follow, and we respond to his invitation to come and see, we will find ourselves in unexpected places. Amen. You know, my friends, the call in our lives to the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a simple thing. As a matter of fact, if we read on in the gospel of John, in the very next chapter of John, the second chapter of John, Jesus calls his disciples and he leads them into the unexpected. The first thing he does is he goes to a wedding and he turns a bunch of water into wine. Now, is that what we expect from the Messiah? And then he marches into Jerusalem, and I'm sure his disciples are saying, oh, thank goodness, now we're going to finally get religious and go into the temple. And Jesus walks into the temple and turns over the tables and says, no, no, this is not what God intends. He is constantly leading us into new, unexpected places that are risky. Now, will we answer that call? I quoted Martin Luther King Jr. earlier, and I will close with a couple of quotes. He also said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. This is echoing the gospel. If anybody suffers, everybody suffers. He also said, the ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by bad people, but the silence over that by good people. We're being called and the choice is ours. Come and see. Amen.